Let us bow our heads and pray. Father God, we just come humbly before your throne and we bow down. Lord, we ask that the power of your anointing would flow over us at this hour, Lord, that our minds and our hearts and our eyes and our ears spiritually would be stayed upon you to receive that which you have prepared and ordained for this hour. We love you, praise you, give you all the glory, and Holy Spirit, you are welcome in these vessels. We ask that you would rain down a great and mighty anointing upon this service. And let all things be said and done in the order that you have prepared by the power of your anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, our word from the Lord tonight is from the mouth of God to the ears of man. That is a Jewish saying. From the mouth of God to the ears of man. As it was for the Jews and is for the Jews, so is it for us that are faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, there are a few things in that movie that we could go over and have a study on just that alone. Because this system that is coming and is already in existence in our world today is a political, economical, and religious system. And if we go back to where I was last night, just watching the History Channel about Islam and it being over a period of from the year 750 to the early 1900s, you would find that it started in Babylon, that a dictator came and started to rule people through a religion. And remember our sermon from last week, King Nebuchadnezzar, he decided he was going to use a religion to draw all people unto himself. He already has all power and authority because he is the king. He has the political pull and he has the economical pull. All he needed to do was bring the cohesiveness of it all together through a religious belief that would bring all people under the same banner. Tonight, the word that the Lord has for us, I love the title because you've heard it before. It's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain. We're talking a spiritual rain here. R-A-I-N, it's beginning to rain. A few months ago in 2005, Pastor Tom had a couple of dreams. One was about an old and a new blue car, and it went something like this. He said we were driving down a street near our home, and just as we started to turn, he noticed a beautiful, brilliant, blue, old, vintage car driving next to us. And as it approached the intersection, it came into contact with another beautiful blue car. But it was of a newer sort. And they came together and they collided. Well, the interpretation of that is blue is the color of God's healing. Okay, it's on the prayer shawl. It's at the edges of the prayer shawl. And I've said this before, blue represents healing. Okay, and the old vintage car and the new car represented the power of God that had been poured out from the time of Jesus forward to this very day and all that we've seen over many, many years. And the new car represented the new outpouring of God's reign that is now upon us. A little while later, he had another dream about huge raindrops, and it went something like this. We were at our home, and we had guests in our home. He decided to step outside for a few moments, and as he stepped outside, he said it began to rain drops, very huge, on his shirt, and he noticed it. And so when he came back in, the company had decided that it was time for them to go. And his comment was to them, well, be careful out there because it's raining. But when they opened the door to go out, there was no rain. And it's because the Lord is preparing those who are going to be on the front line of battle and who are ready for this last rain, this final rain that he has prepared and ordained. Then, on January 28th of this year, 2006, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Prophet Kim Clement gave this prophecy from the Lord. Listen very closely. For the Spirit of God says, it shall come to pass that March shall bring about an unusual rain. A rain that shall be so unusual that they shall write about it. And the Spirit of God said, let this be a sign. The Spirit of God said, let this be a sign to you, to each one of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with Him, that the heavens have truly opened. Let this be a sign to you upon this nation. Where was he at? Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the Bible Belt of America. He said, let this be a sign to you upon this nation that it is my will and my purpose and my desire to clear the debt for a position of prosperity. Now, this doesn't just mean money. This means great favor with God to be able to be free to do that which He has called you to do in all things. Not for provision anymore, but God said, for abundance. For you have waited and waited. The promises have come, the promises have remained, but this is not a futile promise. For God said, you have stood before me, you have remained pure and holy, and there have been times that you have said, I am not. But God said, your praises, your prayers are going to bring about a harvest like you have never seen. That's awesome. And I want to remind you of something. He said, look to March. Look to March. March is the first month on God's prophetic calendar. Our year begins in January. Israel's secular year begins in October. But God's prophetic year begins in March. And since September, the Lord has been telling us that there was something new and unusual coming, that it would begin to be revealed after the 31st of October. But now He's told us, take it as a sign to you that the heavens have truly opened. It is God's new prophetic year. In Leviticus chapter 26, beginning at verse 1, you have to ask yourself this. Are you really ready for what the Lord has prepared for us here in this last hour? The Lord says in Leviticus chapter 26, beginning at verse 1 through 13, ye shall make you no idols, nor graven images. Neither rear ye up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land. Doesn't that sound like a continuation of our study from last week about King Nebuchadnezzar and him setting up the idol before men to worship? He says, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, the Lord says, and this is as it was for Israel, so is it for us today, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. And the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. Now, if you remember, the Lord tells us that there is a 7-year period of reaping and sowing. And on the 7th year, we are to let the ground rest. And on the 8th year, we are to eat the old before we plant the new on the 9th year. So that by the time the 9th year, the new harvest comes up, we start the process over again. And you shall eat your bread to full and dwell in your land safely. This is not only for Israel, but it's for every nation upon this planet, and especially this one that is blessed by God. Verse 6 says, and I will, God is saying this, and I will give peace in the land. There will never be peace in any land until the Lord Jesus Christ is crowned king for eternity upon this earth. And he will begin it with a 1,000-year reign upon this earth, which he is and was and is yet to be king of. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Now, isn't that interesting? That is the verse that they said was on the outside of the UN building. Where do you think they got it from? They got it from here. But they use it for their own purpose. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. The Lord says, for I will have respect or great esteem unto you and make you fruitful and multiply. And you know what? All the prophecies up until now, and even so, right in the period that we're in, the Lord keeps telling us how he's going to continue to give us an overabundance of becoming fruitful, and he's multiplying us right now, not only in childbearing, but in the things of our walk with him and the things that he's called us to do. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and esteem my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store. What were we just talking about? We were talking about in the seventh year, having enough stored up that we will be able to make it till that ninth year, until the 7-year period regenerates again. And ye shall eat old store and bring forth old because of the new. That means that there's something on the way that only the Lord can bring forth. And the Lord continues and said, I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. You know what? He did do that. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the tabernacle of God, because God is a spirit. And if God was not embodied in the body of Jesus Christ when he walked upon this earth, the sinless man, you would not see God, because he's invisible. He has done this. And it says that the Lord continues, and I will walk among you. Jesus walked among us and still does this very day through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. As it is for the Jewish people, so is it for us, the faithful, Bible-believing followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, or the land of sin, that ye should not be their bondage, or you should not be in bondage. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, your sin, and made you to go upright. This is very exciting news. Mind you, the next word is very personal, not only for the remnant of Israel whom the Lord shall call, but also to every true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. For it says in Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, Be glad then, ye children of Zion. I want to tell you what Zion means. Be ye glad then, ye children of Zion, or ye children of perpetual strength and victory. That is what Zion means. Perpetual strength and victory. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former, or the past, rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former, or the past rain, and the latter, or the final, concluding, ultimate rain in the first month. Do you really know what that means? March, there again, is the first month of God's prophetic calendar, and we are now here. It is time for the former and latter rain, spiritually speaking, that which was and that is which is yet to come. The power of God's Spirit being poured out upon the face of this planet in measure that no one has ever seen nor will ever see again after it's concluded. The Lord continues in verse 24, "And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil." Wine and oil is provision. It's a representation and a symbolization of provision of that which you have need of, no matter what it is. And the Lord says, "I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I send among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel." It's coming. When God supernaturally interacts in that war that is yet to come before our eyes, we will know that he is in the midst of Israel. "And that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed." Verse 28 says, "And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." And guess what? It's happened once at the day of Pentecost. And it happened at the day of Pentecost, and it has not stopped. It has just slowed way down at this point. But very shortly, our time will be up. We'll be taken to glory if we're watching, ready and waiting, if we're knowing God's word, knowing it well and knowing it correctly, and then God's prophetic time clock of Israel will kick in, and the very same thing will be offered unto them as it was unto us, because it was to be offered unto them in the first, but they rejected it. We have a very merciful God. "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit." On March 1st, 2006, a fresh and unusual full outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit began to flow first to and through his people and will soon be evident to the entire world because of the overflowing last hour. Signs and wonders and miracles, even unto the raising of the dead. In verse 30, the Lord continues, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion," what does it mean? Perpetual strength and victory. "For in Mount Zion," the perpetual strength and victory of God, "in Jerusalem," the city of peace, "shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." That's the last call for the Jewish people. We would have already gone on by then, but it's starting here and now with us and will conclude with them. But the other side of this coin is the Lord tells us that if we are not followers of his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, we will only have this to look forward to. If we go back to Leviticus chapter 26, beginning at verse 14, the Lord says, "But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you." I love him. He gives you both sides of the story. You can pick A, eternal life, or B, eternal damnation. "I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror." Why do you think terror is one of the main courses in Israel? They are paying for their sins of the forefathers in that land. God has allowed these things to come upon that land and people for the fact that they have turned away from God, just as if every time they turned away from God in the Bible, then these things begin to come on them. It's not unusual. It is His perfect pattern. If you walk with the Lord, you have favor and of overabundance. If you turn from the Lord, your enemies will overtake you. It doesn't matter who you are. "I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning agu that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." And this is what's happening every day around the world, even here in America. But it is so prevalent as we lay our eyes upon Israel as a nation. The Lord says, "And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you." You're going to live in total terror and fear. And that's what this world has come to now. Since 9/11, that is what the entire world has come to. Fighting an entity they cannot even see, that they brought upon themselves by not walking with the Lord. "And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins." He means sevenfold more. It's meaning that the plagues that He's prepared and ordained that are written in the last pages of the Bible will continue to pour out on you until you either die or make your choice to be redeemed. It is your choice. The Lord says, "And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass." Do you realize that He's saying the exact opposite of what He's given us this very day at the beginning of March 1st? He has opened the heavens totally above us, that whatever we ask in His will and in His name, He will perform it such as never before. Signs and wonders and miracles, even unto the raising of the dead. But if you will not follow Him, He says, "I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass." She will not reveal her fruits. You will not have plenty upon the face of this planet. And the heavens will not drop down with the rain of signs, wonders, and miracles, even unto the raising of the dead. "And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase." What did I say? I didn't say it. The Lord said it. "Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins." This is corporate and this is individual. God's got a plan for every little thing. He's got a plan for you and me, and He's got a plan for the whole earth. The Lord says, "And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle." Sounds like mad cow disease to me, doesn't it, you? "And make you few in number." That sounds like the horrible outbreak of the epidemic or pandemic that is supposed to take over the whole world. I think I would beware. and your highways. You notice how he didn't say your dirt path or, you know, something that would have been more like in his days? He said, your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge this quarrel, this argument of my covenant. And that is what the final battle will really be. The Lord will just destroy those who are aiming their weapons of destruction at him, and by the power of the word that comes out of his mouth, they will be wiped out. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 7 through 10, it starts out by Jesus saying this, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And then John says, "I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." I found this interesting. "Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets." He was already speaking to one of the prophets that had gone on before him, just as the time that Jesus allowed the disciples that he chose to be with him on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Elijah and Moses. This man, John, the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, was now being shown great things that are yet to come, even to this very day, that have not come yet, but are well on the way, and found out that this man that he said was an angel, was a brethren of the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book. So you know what? That right there tells you that that was a person who was once a mortal on this earth. Because the only people that keep the saying of this book are us. Because those that are in eternity, they don't know anything else. The angels that God has created and that are with him today, they only know that which he has prepared for them. "Then saith he unto me, See that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." Worship God. "And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book." I'm going to tell you why. It's not a great revelation. It's just in Revelation. Because it says, "For the time is at hand." Those are the next words. "For the time is at hand." Let us remember what Jesus gave to us as one of the greatest promises of comfort. In John 14, beginning at verse 1, Jesus said this, "Let not your heart be troubled by the trials and tribulations and everything that you see and here in your physical man. Do not be troubled by these things. You believe in God, believe also in me." I mean, I guess if he wanted to go on, he could have said, "Because I am the Son of God, and I came here, and I died on the cross and shed my precious and holy blood for your sins." "In my Father's house," Jesus said, "are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Of course, he cannot lie. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I love that. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. For the word of God says, on the day of God's great white throne judgment, that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That would be Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. So, how can you know that you're ready to go when Jesus comes with by the sound of the trump of God? As it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13 through 18. For Paul says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul's saying, I didn't make this up. This is what the Lord's already said. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you know what he told us after that? He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's close. It's very close. Please bow your heads. Close your eyes and give reverence unto the Lord. By the way, this is how you can know that you know that you know that you're ready to go. For Paul says in God's perfect plan of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, If you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or right living in Jesus Christ, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation means way of escape. And that's what Jesus is for us. He's our hope. He's our way of escape. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, Jesus, shall not be ashamed. How many times did we read that in God's word tonight? He said, my people shall not be ashamed. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And it really would have been neat if it had said, of course I'm not correcting God, but if it would have said, there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, because everybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. And that's what the point was being made. It was being said, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to search your heart tonight. You know the Lord has called each and every one of you to do a great and mighty work in this last hour. You're all involved in something that the Lord has a great hand in. And you want to continue down that path through the power and anointing of His Holy Spirit to be right on, to be aligned perfectly, to be where you're supposed to be at the time and the hour and the season that you're supposed to be there, to receive that former and latter rain as they crash into one another in this great hour of signs and wonders and miracles, even into the raising of the dead. As the Lord told us, He said in Mark chapter 16 that if we believe that these signs should follow us, and the Lord told us to take it as a sign right now that the heavens are truly opened above us, and He said we shall cast out demons, and we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And that's what I want to see this room full of. I am not a leader except under the power and anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same as each and every one of you can be as Christians, because it wasn't for just the leaders that He called us all to have this power and anointing through His Holy Spirit. So search your hearts tonight and ask the Lord to give you that which you are in need of. And only He knows what we are in need of. He knows what each and every one of us are lacking. He knows where we need to be cuddled. He knows where we need to be chastened. He knows where we need to be bringing our attention back to a focus. Tonight, I just want to pray a prayer over you all. Father God, I come before Your throne, and as the leader that You have prepared and ordained for this hour over this flock, Lord, and for even those that are not in the chairs tonight, they are on the way. They are on the way. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, by Your perfect will, Lord, that You would pour in to each and every life here tonight that which You have prepared and ordained for this hour, that they may hear Your voice clearly and walk steadfast in the things that You have prepared and called them for in this hour. Lord, we are not sitting here twiddling our thumbs. We are on the front line of battle, and You said that the year 2006 was a call to arms. That means that we have been totally trained and prepared for that which You are about to pour us into. And Lord, we give You all the glory and honor and praise for it right now in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I ask that You would pour the fire and the power that God has prepared into each and every one of us, that we would be a blazing pillar before all men, that they would truly see our lives in action through Your Spirit. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.